Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello and welcome to Jokes with Mark Simmons, the podcast where I chat to another comedian about jokes they can't get to work. As always, I am joined by the one and only, the main man, producer Joel.
Hey,
producer Joel.
How's it going, Mark?
It's going good, thanks, mate. I'm tired, but good. I'm excited to talk to you. Lots is happening in the world. I'd love to know your take on everything. First of all, lockdown. Second lockdown. Lockdown two. What are you saying?
What
doesn't
am
really
I saying?
Doesn't really affect you that much, does it? Work-wise. Yeah.
A little bit it can. I would say it's, yeah, I'm in quite a privileged position that I can carry on working, which is, you know, a lot of people can't. It's not yep. fun, is it? But yeah, I'm speaking to one of them right now. It's not a lot of fun for anyone, really. And I think it'll be tougher in winter than it was in you know, spring and summer. And I just hope that it works and people can get out and about for Christmas time.
Yes, good words there, Joel. I'm kind of slightly looking more forward to it than the first one because I'm not stuck in a flat in London. So I can sort of go...
Do you know who is?
Producer Joel!
Hey!
There he is. Yeah, but you've got a nice view, haven't you? Does that help? You've got a balcony?
Yeah, I can stand on that every now and again.
Yeah.
A big helium balloon landed on my balcony yesterday.
No,
it didn't.
That was quite
exciting. Yeah.
No, it didn't.
It did. It was terrifying.
What do you mean?
Just like a big balloon. You know, only like, it was like a big novelty balloon. Not like a hot air balloon.
I thought you meant a hot air balloon. I was like, how did that work? Oh, I'm too tired, mate.
It wasn't like a blimp.
US election. Don't know the result. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh, Mark, what are my thoughts? I stayed up really, really late last night watching it.
Did you?
It was so stupid. I stayed up till, gone 2 a.m.
I did that last year, and it's pointless because they tried to make it sound exciting, but you don't know anything until the results are in.
No, I know, but at least in the UK, we're pretty quick at getting some results in.
Yeah, yeah.
Like by the time I went to bed, nothing had happened.
No.
Nothing. And I'd been watching the coverage for like 4 hours. Crazy. Anyway, so I got up at 6 to carry on watching it.
Yeah, still watching it now.
I am still watching it now.
So what's your prediction? Prediction?
Biden will win.
Will
just,
he?
And Trump will just incite some sort of civil war, I think. He's already gone. I mean, Trump's gone mad. At the time of recording it, he's basically just tweeting full-on conspiracy theories, so...
Yeah, that's...
I just think he's just going to refuse to leave the White House.
Well, I heard that they can carry on for a couple of months.
So that's, the whole, like, the transition period goes on for ages.
He could cause a lot of trouble in 2 months.
Yeah, yeah.
It's nuts. So, cool. Good stuff. what else has been happening? Recorded Mock the Week last night.
Very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. So that is going out... Well, when you listen to this today at 10 p.m., BBC One, BBC Two, so go check that out.
BBC One, 10 o'clock is the news,
yeah,
Mark.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
The only way you'd get on that is if you did something really horrific.
Oh, good stuff. So anyway, what's happening this week, Joel?
We are talking to the wonderful Chris Washington.
Ah, it's Chris Washington. Oh, good stuff. I mean,
speaking of American cities,
yeah. Washington. That's why I picked him. Nothing to do with his comedic skills.
Was Daisy Pennsylvania not available?
She wasn't.
Good character comedian.
And Donald Arizona wasn't interested. So
just trying to think of more.
Well, we could do that for ages. Yeah. Oh, Mickey Michigan.
Mark Texas.
Well, I will do, but I'm recording a podcast.
Come on. You said you were tired. You're still on it.
Retired? What are you talking about? We're tired.
I said you're tired. Retired.
That shows how tired I am. Oh, God, I am tired. Anyway, let's listen to what we spoke about a few days ago to Chris Washington. Check it out. Now, you are. Just keep listening. I tried to write a joke about Deliveroo or link to Deliveroo. I wasn't like going, I must get a joke about Deliveroo. But
yeah.
I don't really think it's sort of my style, and maybe it's not even funny. I haven't tried it. It was along the lines of, like, biker gangs aren't as cool as they used to be, are they? And then Deliveroo be the biker gang.
Yeah, there's something in that. That'd be funny. Yeah, there's definitely something in that.
Because, like, and I didn't know whether to, for the punchline, because if you just went, you know, they got shit names, like Uber Eats and Deliveroo, but I was thinking if you got the name slightly wrong, so Uber Eats or Delver,
even if your pronunciation was wrong on something, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
your intonation when you say the
Deliveroo,
word, like I know what you mean.
Because they all wear the same colours. Do you know what I mean? So if you sort of got a bit in where you sort of said, what I liked about biker gangs is they all got the same gear, haven't they? It looks cool on their bikes and the same jackets, but they're not as cool anymore. Or maybe it could be the angle of in America they're cool and over here they're not as cool. That might be a nice angle. Because then if you had a bit like that, if there was an American in the audience, you could just go straight to that. It's quite a nice in.
Yeah. Deliveroo, yeah. I don't even have it around here, Deliveroo, so it's not...
Oh, really? Or do you think... What if it's someone comes over here and misunderstands? Like I've got an American friend. But normally I'm the idiot.
Your gang. That's a good angle of being like... Your biker gangs are a bit more tame or whatever.
Yeah, they're not as cool, are they, over here?
In that.
And then if they get the name wrong, that makes more sense. Because obviously it's a bit stupid that I would not know how to say Deliveroo.
Yeah. I don't know. Is there something in like... is there not... See, I don't know. Because with your stuff, I don't even know if I'm the best person for this podcast because I don't even think I have any fucking jokes.
That doesn't matter. That's just because that's what I do. It's just about bits.
But if that was me thinking about that and it was my bit, I would then be thinking of be going to, but I think your bit is like that big and I think my bit is maybe that big. But your bit is that big and really concise and my bit is that big and probably a bit more waft, you know what I mean?
But where would you go with it if you did it?
Well, I would be thinking like of, then I would straight away go to like the comparing the things what a biker gang might have or their kind of, do you know what I mean? Or try and get some kind of Sons of Anarchy like analogy in with Deliveroo.
So if Sons of Anarchy delivered your food.
Yeah, do you know, there would probably be some kind of play on like on that of being like, and then it would probably, you'd probably be thinking of like, and then my brain automatically, then I'm thinking of like, Well, basically, like when I want to cool a pasty down when I'm driving, I stick it out the window and drive as fast as I can so it cools down. So I would then be thinking of like the air, like your food, you know, something traveling really fast is never going to be. So, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know if there's some. My brain is a bit weird. Like, I'd then be thinking like maybe if they're not driving as fast, my food will be hotter. I don't know. I'd probably, because you don't want to go to the obvious one. Like Sons of Anarchy, I don't really like that style of, oh, Willie, and you do three examples and it's really conventional. Like that's,
yeah.
So I'd more be thinking of like, what I try and do with my stuff is a lot of, I realize when I'm writing, and like, this is the thing of like when I'm coming on this podcast of a lot of my stuff I write is personal, like anecdotal kind of first person, like my experience, do you know what I mean? So so it's more like, oh, it's not like have you noticed kind of thing, it's more
this thing
happened, do you know what I mean, to me, which I thought I was more kind of observational and thing, and you kind of weave them through unintentionally, but first and foremost it's always on my experience. Like, I could probably pick apart, I've done like 3 hour long shows in Edinburgh, and every routine is basically I was in this position and I did this.
Yeah.
And then maybe when I was there, this thing happened. You know, that thing when, and then you might chuck in an observational thing, but it's all stems from from me personally.
And
go on.
I was going to say, is it always true, or will you create a thing but still be the angle is
yes in that? So I used to have this real weird complex about this it's all stems from truth and exaggeration, so it's truth and exaggeration. So for example, let's have a think. So I do a thing. I have a joke which is some of my ones what you would think aren't true actually are true. Do you know what I mean? And then some of the things were
right.
So for example, I had this thing where I have this routine where I talk about seeing a guy when I got I knew I needed glasses because I saw this man and I frame it like basically I started to wear glasses because I was involved in an accident, and then people are like, oh, like, you know, and then I was like, yeah, and this is the accident was basically I was driving down the road and I saw this bloke on some grass, and he was on top of another bloke and he was just punching him and 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 punching him in the face, and I thought, I'm gonna have to do something here, but I don't like fighting even though I look really hard. So I thought, I'm going to have to... So then you've got all these little dropping things of, like, my personality, me, and then you get a laugh at people's... And then my reaction to people laughing at me saying I'm hard is funny. Do you know what I mean? And then it's, like, two laughs. So this guy's getting punched on the floor on this grass. And I thought, I'm going to have to help him. So I ran over to help him. And as I got closer, I just realised it was one man starting a petrol lawnmower. And that is, like... If we're not using the video here, it's hard to explain, but...
The image is there.
Yeah, so that basically came from the house I lived in before this. There was like a grass track along it, and there was a guy starting a strimmer, and I thought, it looked like he had someone in a headlock punching him as I was driving up, and then I just drove past, and I thought, oh, he's just thingy. So I didn't stop and get out and thingy, but that came from that.
So you had that idea, and then you got the glasses bit after that. You thought, that's a nice in.
Because I had stuff about wearing glasses, and I had stuff about I would say it's like with my stuff, it's probably 75-25 truth, but you need the extra 25 is just a license to be funny. Do you know what I mean?
So you wouldn't sort of make that kind of Deliveroo observation about the biker gang and then think, right, well, for me to make that personal, I used to deliver Deliveroo, and then someone said to me, you would never create something out of nothing like that. It always stems from
I used to be a postman. and I, that I've told you that, and that I can't have used to have been 10 other things. Do you know what I mean? Like,
okay,
but
see, with me, no, I just reset every time. I've had about,
yeah, I love it.
I've had about
it.
70 jobs in my sets.
Yeah, and Gary Delaney's like got a girlfriend and a wife, and a, do you know what I mean? And
yeah,
you know, it's like,
you're not supposed
I
to
love that.
Yeah, you're not supposed to tell anyone that. This,
but I do really love that. Like I say, and I think that all stems from really just I don't know. I just kind of, it's not. I just like telling funny stories of things what have happened. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
and it's just like kind of.
There's nothing just better than that. If you're someone that, so I've got a friend that I actually started comedy with. He doesn't do it anymore. He is someone that every time I met him, something funny has just happened. Like something, and it's never, that's all. There's nothing ever as funny as that thing because it, you know, it happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it's coming from a real place. So if you're, so do you think that you're someone that just stuff happens to more that's funny? Or do you think your brain is in tune for picking up on it? Because with me, with wordplay, I think everybody has this wordplay go in front of their eyes during conversations and things they're listening to. But I spot them. That's kind of my thing, is I can spot them. So do you think?
I think it's that. I think it's, I'm not everything is like, it's definitely me spotting them. And I'm better at spotting them now. So I had another joke, which once again stems, it's real, but it said in front of someone else, it might have just been, my nan was saying, oh, I don't, what, my nan, I have this bit about my nan has boycotted Emmerdale because she said the storylines have become too unrealistic. And then I was like, but this is genuinely what my nan said. And then she was like, and I was like, bearing in mind, like, she's watched Emmerdale for 30 years for a plane crash, a helicopter crash, about 25 fatal barn fires and a murder every other month in a village about, you know, with about 200 people in it. And I said, what is it what is it? And she went, people keep going in the Woolpack, buying a pint, drinking half of it and just fucking walking out. Who does that in Yorkshire? My nan actually, that was my nan's beef with Emmerdale. She was like, it's really unrealistic. People keep just leaving the drink on bar. She's like, people don't do that. And I was like, if she'd have said that to like anyway, you'd just like laugh and forget it. But I was like, oh, that is, do you know what I mean? Straight, your brain, it's a curse. Less so for me than you. Because I look at your tweets and your Facebook posts and your Instagram, and I honestly think it must feel like a curse at times to just hear a turn of phrase and or hear a sentence, and then straight away you must think the rhythm of the sentence or the way that word falls in that, and then straight away you're doing like a fucking Sudoku in your brain with that, and for me that'd be hell.
It's ruined so many relationships. Because
I bet,
because when you first do it, the girls think, oh, that's cool. He's sort of busy. He's got a cool brain that can work this stuff out. And then after a while, it's like, will you just listen to me? Will you just put your phone down?
Yeah.
Put your phone down. Oh, forget it. Put your phone down.
Siri. Exactly. I know. It's so clear. I really admire it, though. Like, say yourself, I did some dates. I supported Milton Jones on about 10 or 15 dates of his tour, like last year, and him as well. And it's like, it's just it's a crazy.
Does he? Is he the same?
It's so clever.
Yeah, I did have him on the podcast, but we didn't talk about that. So he's just constantly on, just writing stuff.
Oh no, I don't mean that. I didn't really spend loads. I mean, he's quite a quiet guy, Milton. I've found he just did his own thing and I did mine. But I just mean in terms of, I'm really in awe of people that can kind of, you know, like pick that up, like do that, work at that, like high up. Like, I think it's like you've got a different thing in your brain to be able to do that.
I think it's just where you're wired,
when you're watching
isn't
it. Yeah, because it must be as well. I mean, when it goes well, I don't know this, like, because I don't do these kind of jokes. When it goes well, it must be great. But sometimes, like, you must get... I've seen it where people who are doing good one-liners, they go, the audience can just get into a rhythm of going, oh, do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I've learned how to get out of that. You need to address it straight away and just tell them,
yeah,
these aren't growners, but in a funny way. If you just
how
go,
long did it take you to grow. Learn? Yeah, yeah. How long did it take you to learn, like, to get out of those gigs? Because
it took a while because with my stuff, I don't want to put groaners in my set. There may be the odd one or two, but then none of them I don't think are proper groaners, because if they are, I'd ditch them. But you do, so I don't, so I never used to, it's not like it happens every gig where people groan. But what the worst thing, I don't mind people groaning if they're doing it as a whole audience and then they laugh. That happens a lot.
Yeah, and I
just smile with that because that's just fun. But what the worst situation, which doesn't happen very often, is one person groans before anyone's had time to think about the joke.
Oh, God.
And that influences the entire audience.
Do you know what? Sorry to interrupt you there, Matt, but it's, I always think as a comic, like, laughter's contagious and stuff like that's contagious as well. Mm. Do you know what I mean? So someone,
yeah.
I remember having like my best show in Edinburgh last year, and this guy and his missus sat on the front, and this couple, and they said to me afterwards, "We've been to all your shows, like with you're the first person we've got." You know, like them people in Edinburgh where they are, like, you've got like, that's where you feel like you've got a thing. And they sat like front and center kind of thing. And this guy was just like, he'd come, he knew he was having a good time because he was seeing his favourite comedian at the Fringe, do you know what I mean? And and then it kind of spread from him. I noticed it was like a wave outwards of him laughing, but also, like, don't get me wrong, there were some shit gigs and that, but what I meant was I felt so good having that guy there in the middle of going like, he's on board with everything because he knows. Yeah. It's like, you know, like all them, and I think that can work the other way as well. If you get that person kind of, and then that can influence the audience then to ruin it.
Because they just assume that's how you're supposed to react to this joke. But what the annoying thing is, the whole audience, they don't understand what's happening there. They just think it's a crap joke. And it's like, none of them are groaners. It's just this one person. So I address him or her straight away. As soon as they do it, I explain to the audience what's happened. And then it resets and it's fine.
Perfect. But great.
Because I'm not having that.
Yeah, I don't like talking to the audience that much, mate, to be honest with you. So that's good. Because people always think, because with my style and like, it's quite conversational and thingy, I don't compare really or anything like that. And people always go, "Oh, you, I bet you compare loads, quite friendly and stuff and chatting." I just think, I know it sounds a bit selfish and daft, and like maybe might make me sound a bit fucking thing, but I'm just like, I just want to talk. I want you to listen and laugh, and then I'll just get off. Do you know what I mean? Like that's how I want this to work. I don't want it to be back and forth. I don't mind if there's a bit, you know, where, you know, someone enjoys something and they want to chip in and they're enjoying themselves. But it's certainly like, I don't go out and go, I hate, like, I know it's necessary and we need these people for gigs to work and stuff, but all this, what do you do for a job? Oh, and like, I don't hate it, like, watching it or thinking it. I just know that I don't even, I can ask someone when what they do for a job when I'm comparing, and they tell me, and then I feel like it's, because I don't really care. I'm only asking for the purpose of this. And I find it a bit, I can't, because my comedy is also, I don't mean to sound like a knob, but quite genuine. I don't want to look like I give a shit about your job in finance. Do you know what I mean? I just want to tell you about the funny time I took my dog to the vets, because, you know, it's not a, I'm not here to make your job for, and I get why they're there, don't get me wrong, so there's some fucking people who are awesome at crowd work. I'm not one of them people at all. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. But I mean, it's not that common. People do that as a set, is it? Like, some people do it as a set, but mainly compares, isn't it?
Yeah, some people are more comfortable comparing, aren't they? Than some people just love doing crowd work and love.
I do a bit with mine, because I've found that it breaks up the one-liners. Because like you were saying about people getting into a rhythm, I like to do some things just to change it a bit and then go back in. But again, whenever I do crowd work, it's still jokes. I'll ask them a question, they'll say a thing, and then I'll do a joke about the thing. It's I don't do normal kind of crowd work, really.
I don't think there's any... there's any one-liners who would just do well like one-liners for an hour or an hour and a half, because I went watching Jimmy Carr even before I started doing stand-up. I got some tickets off someone, I can't remember it, like, and it was mad that he did all these jokes, and then he had this bit where he sat down on a couch,
yep,
or a desk or something. Have you seen Jimmy Carr live before?
Yeah, yeah, I used to watch it, go see him quite a lot when I was, just before, around the time I was starting, just when you just see everything.
Yeah. And just breaking it up, and at the time I was like, oh, this, but it's just like resetting, isn't it? Gary does it as well. I asked Gary about it, yeah, and he said he does something similar.
Mm.
And do you do that over? Do you use crowd work to kind of break it up then?
In my normal club sets, I do, because the normal things I do to break it up in a show, I can't really set that stuff up.
What would that be for in a show?
I kind of do random things that don't really make sense until a bit later in the show. But because I've just done loads of jokes, they forgive me for that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
So they're just it can literally be something for 20 seconds. Whereas what Milton and Gary, I think Gary did it in the last one I saw of his, is they'll do something else for a while.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Whereas I do everything a bit shorter bursts.
Yeah.
I find that works for me.
That's good. That's interesting. I could say because with comedy, I don't even know. Am I supposed to go over some stuff? Am I doing this podcast right, by the way?
No, it's all wrong, actually.
Oh, right. Okay.
We'll just start again. No, it's fine, mate. This is good. It's all joke chat. It's great. I mean, selfishly, I focused on myself quite a lot so far. So we've got my delivery joke sorted.
No, that's... in fact, it's interesting. I'm quite fascinated because of the way my comedy is and stuff. Like, it's quite, you know, it'll get compared to maybe, like, you know, Manford or Bishop. And I totally, like, love those guys. And I like that. But I also enjoy, like, watching something completely different as well sometimes. I like watching funny stuff, you know what I mean? Like, really funny is my favourite. I know it sounds daft to say that in comedy, but there's a lot of shows when you go to Edinburgh that are more thought-provoking, and I'm kind of...
I think we're both in the ilk of funny first.
Yeah, like Jordan Brooks, though, is so different, but I find myself crying, laughing at what he does, and that's so different to what I do, you know what I mean? But it is just
But it's
funny,
about funny, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and but funnily, so talking about kind of jokes that didn't work or stuff I couldn't get to work and stuff, getting onto that, it kind of ties in with the fact of talking about my experiences and thingy, and then I've kind of noticed when I've broke that trend a little bit, that little shift sends me into a bit, I don't know if it's me being uncomfortable and my delivery is a bit more tense. Do you understand?
Yeah.
Or the audience go, oh, this, subconsciously, because they wouldn't analyse it to this extent, but subconsciously go, oh, how come he's not telling us stuff about his life now? How come he's going on about...
Right, yeah. Maybe because it's not from memory, you do naturally deliver it in a way that you're acting rather than... Perhaps it is. Story. I don't know.
I don't write anything down. Me is a thing. I don't ever write out down.
What? How do you know? See, this fascinates me. How? Because I this is complete opposite ends of the spectrum. So how do you? So say.
I don't know. So that. Sorry, I'm making myself sound like a lot more of a maverick. I write a word like a bullet point, and then.
Point. This is what I want to ask, because, like. How, if you change, do you actually do a bit and then you'll be like, all right, I need to change the way I word that a little bit? Do you ever do that? Because if that's the case, how do you remember what you've changed? Or do you just go naturally, roughly?
Yeah, naturally, roughly, I think is my favourite way to do it. But you know the beats, do you know what I mean? And
right,
I think my beat is my bullet point, which I've wrote in my phone. Do you understand?
Yeah.
So even like, this is like the most I ever write is like, I'll just write. So I wrote something like, fears. I was trying to, I did an online gig the other week, and it, I tried to do this new bit about fears. And I've, it just says, don't like talking to people. So then, so when I basically say...
So you're loving this.
Yeah. So, but that one, the word, don't like talking to people, that's probably maybe a minute of talking, and it's don't like talking to people. That's what, like 1 second it takes me to say that, 1.5 seconds.
Right, yeah.
But that's a minute of, and I don't know what that minute is. I'm just going to tell you that basically I have this like fear of like ringing up taxis and ringing up restaurants and basically any situation, like in a shop, I have to go and ask if they sell something. It gets too much for me, and I feel like I'm going to have a panic attack. Like, I've done a gig to like 2,500 people before, and I felt much more at ease doing that than asking if I could use a voucher in Harvester that I knew was in date. Do you know what I mean?
I'm the same as you, mate. I'm the same as you. As a younger guy, I used to really... I'm a bit better now because I just go, I just got to do it. But I don't like I had to... Because I just moved again, so I had to go and change my doctors. And I was like, all I've got to do is phone them and find out what's going on. Mm. But that, getting me to actually do that, I have to force myself. Like, I hate that.
Yeah, it's a strange thing, though. It's like, people would be like, oh, you're a comedian, like, oh, you do that, and I go like, I can't explain like why that it, and I had a bit about why.
So you start by saying that, and then where does it go? Have you got another bullet point for the next bit, or you just know?
Oh yeah, so I was on about fear. So I was on about I don't like talking to people. Oh, so that would get me a laugh where I'd say I've done a gig to 2,500 people. And I found that much less stressful than asking if I could use an in-date voucher in the harvest in my harvester. And then you get your laugh, and then you move on. This is like brand new stuff. And then I've straight
to me. That's kind of with the 2,000 people. That's like, but you know what you're doing. You're comfortable. But when you're taking that voucher, one, you don't know what the reaction is going to be. And if that for some reason that voucher isn't valid anymore, that's embarrassing.
Oh, that's.
Do you know what I mean?
So, like I say, that's the thing of all, and it's also back to the thing of what I said before of going. That's why I like my comedy of me talk, you listen and laugh, and then I fuck off. Now, when you're asking to use a voucher, I have to say, is this valid? And then they look at it and say no, and then I have to make the decision there and then. Am I willing to eat in this restaurant if I'm going to pay full price? And then if I make that decision, there's a lot of weight on my shoulders of going, oh my god, so. If I walk out now because this voucher isn't valid, they're going to think I'm too tight to eat in a harvester. But I would probably only eat in a harvester if it was half price because I don't believe that. Do you know what I mean? And then all these things are going around in my head. But whereas if I go out and do that gig, I'm just like, here's some funny stories. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, this happened. Yeah.
And it's crazy, isn't it? But I think we're all, I'm not of this whole thing of like, all comedians are like, but there's definitely a thing in your brain which is a bit different.
Like, I think it comes from being like, because as a kid, I wasn't confident. Like at school, I wasn't like the most confident person. And now I am because I've kind of, you fake it till you make it, don't you? Like, and then you fake it so much that it's just you now. But I feel when stuff like that happens, it just takes me back to when I used to have to go and ask someone something as a kid and I'd be a bit sort of shy and embarrassed. So I think takes you back to
I had one the other day, yeah. I was meeting someone somewhere and I didn't know the place or the pub or something. I can't remember what it was, but I was like, there's so much of that where it's like,
doorbell
at the door.
It's just a delivery. No, they'll leave it outside. It's fine.
All right, but yeah, it's so I can't remember, but yeah, I have many situations. It's just kind of like a bit like, oh god.
You mentioned in that about not liking to talk to people. So that's reminding me of a joke that I had, or I tried to get to work. So as soon as you said about not liking to talk to people, my brain went, there's something funny because as a job, you talk to loads of people. When you're on stage, you are talking to people. But then that reminded me, when I used to do tour support, so whenever I do tour support, it's probably the opposite to where you do tour support, is they booked me because I did jokes. They didn't want me to talk to the audience. So the acts, like they get more out of talking to the audience because that's, because they're the famous person, you get more. And if I've already done that, that's sort of ruined.
Mm.
So yeah. I used to get booked for that a lot. So in the rules of like a tour that I did, it said you're not allowed to talk to the audience. So I thought that was funny. If I've taken that and then just, so I started doing a mime act.
Ah.
Do you know what I mean? Something like that. And then, I don't know if I ever tried that, but that, I think that's what, I don't even know if I tried that. And then the other way was like, so if the audience, if my audience, when I'm telling this joke, didn't buy into the fact that I'm talking to the audience as part of the job, I did a thing of like during the interval, it was really awkward because people kept coming up to me and I had to ignore them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But I don't know if I could ever get that concise. But I think that's quite funny because that's talking to the audience, but I'm not allowed. Both of those I feel work, but I don't know if I've ever really... Another thing with that is I'm not sure if... So I'd have to explain that that was a rule for the tour support, but I don't know if a normal audience really understands the that's, reason why I couldn't talk to the audience. So then that might confuse them.
And the setup for that might be too long and unfunny for the payoff to be worth it.
100%. And also, they're then making a judgment of... Well, what? That's stupid. Why can't he do it? Do you know what I mean? So, whereas I feel like comics would laugh at that,
but they're not. They're not the. I know what you mean. Fucking, it's a bit of like a. It's pointless making comics laugh, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Like it's a nice bonus.
There's no money.
Making comics laugh should always be a nice bonus. Do you know what I mean? I don't think I've ever really been a. comedians. I don't know. I'm not. My mates find me funny. You're comedians, I suppose. But there is definitely something in the thing of. But also, you have to remember of like. You have to just check yourself sometimes. I think and go, oh, like this is my job, so it's okay to talk about it a bit. Do you know what I mean? And you can't make everything about the industry. Like I was at this gig and thingy and this. Do you know what I mean? Like. I found myself, I had two of those jokes in my set and you go, you don't want every joke to be this funny thing happened at this gig. Do you know what I mean? And they're things you learn when you start, you know, like, and there's nothing wrong with having one of those. And I still, you know, I've done that on the telly. Do you know what I mean? You know, there's nothing wrong with saying this funny thing happened at this gig, but I don't know what kind of audience you get who listen to this, whether it's people who are, you know, newer comics or comics and
Yeah,
but like, I'm not a snob about any of that stuff. Like, I wouldn't say, "Oh, you have to get past that." But it's very easy to fall into that, isn't it? As well of going because we are gigging all the time. I had a bit in my 2017 show, which I only came up with. That's the beauty of being quite loose about stuff. Is when I go to Edinburgh, I always feel like my show does get. I'm not rigid with like my show gets better through the month, and I'm not like I don't preview the fuck out of it. Like I do like. Sub 15 previews, like first preview for my debut hour was in June, and then I did about 11 and then did it in Edinburgh, but then it got better throughout the month. And I had this bit about how it was a story about my wife winning a Dyson at work and how fucking elated I was and how it was the best thing ever. And like and it was all the setup of like it was like So basically, long story short, is that my wife, I talked about how when we got together, we got to that stage in our relationship and we knew, you know, we moved in and it was time that to take it to the next level. So we put our money together and got a second-hand Dyson. And the way that she looked after that Dyson, I was like, I knew she was going to be an amazing mother. And I said, when she cleaned it as well, she was like a sniper cleaning a rifle. And I said how she used to take this Dyson apart and put it all back together and stuff, and you've never seen anything like it. And then this is 100% true story. My wife works for AO.com, the appliances company, and they had a competition in her work. Dyson came in doing a promotion saying who can take apart and put together a Dyson in the quickest time, you win a brand new Dyson. Now my wife, we had this second-hand Dyson. And my wife was so good at servicing it and maintaining this vacuum cleaner that this she came in and she's been like, fuck it, like, I do this for fun at home, do you know what I mean? Like, and she absolutely smashed out the park, yeah, and won this fucking. So in my bit, I talk about how we were dead chuffed that we owned it. We had a Dyson and it was second hand. Then I talk about this competition in my wife's work, which genuinely happened. Then she won, and then I was like, oh my God, we've won it. She come home and I was like, and then I do this whole act out of how I came home and I was like, she's like, you're not going to believe this. I can't even, but it's on iPlayer. It's live from the BBC. It's the final routine on that show. If you search Chris Washington on iPlayer and I talk about this, and then there's a reason I'm getting to this, by the way. So I say we've got, and then at the end of the show, I say I never thought, and I'm kind of like, it's quite a moment of at the end of the show, I kind of like had a moment of realizing that it was like me basically saying like, this is the whole show was called Dream Big Brackets Within Reason, and it was about kind of being not always looking for the next thing. It was a kind of about appreciating where you're at and enjoying the moment rather than concentrating on the next run of the ladder and stuff. And I said, I had this bit, so I'm kind of like, you know, the show is like, I'm very lucky. And I said, I never thought I'd be the type of person who had a Dyson for upstairs and a Dyson for downstairs. And then someone heckled me in Edinburgh. This is 100% true. Someone heckled me in Edinburgh and went, well, what do you do the stairs with? And then, I then told that story so then that entered the show, and I went, so the routine changed to, so it used to be, I never thought I'd be the type of person that had a Dyson for upstairs and a Dyson for downstairs, and then that I'd get a laugh. And then after that guy heckled me, I went, I never thought I'd be the type of person who had a Dyson for upstairs and a Dyson for downstairs. And then I told that story in Edinburgh, and someone went, what did you do the stairs with? And then I didn't answer, because I like it to be one of those shows that leaves you walking away asking questions. and it, that little thing, going back to what we were talking about, of like insider, because, you know, yeah, like, yeah, we know that people do Edinburgh shows and quite arty shows where we want to leave you walking away asking questions. And I thought that was a little nod to that, of going, that was probably quite a clever little joke, that. And I was thinking, is that clever? Is that funny for comics to go, ah, oh, that's good what you've just done there? But my mate texted me, he's not a comic, and he was like, mate, that was a nice little, he noticed that, he picked up on it. He's like, that was a clever thing what you did there. I don't really think I do clever stuff, but I was quite pleased with that one.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile.
With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Chris Washington!
Yes!
Hashtag Hawooga! Chris Washington! Great stuff. Good stuff. If you want a little bit more of Chris Washington, you can head over to patreon.com/jokeswithmark. You can go over there, sign up, support the podcast, and get loads of cracking content. We put new stuff up every blooming week.
Every single week.
You lucky devils. And thank you to everyone who is signing up and supporting the podcast. We muchly appreciate that.
We muchly do.
Is that right? What's wrong with that?
We muchly appreciate it.
Is that not?
It's quite weird.
We appreciate it. We appreciate it muchly.
We appreciate it very much.
When would you ever say muchly?
I don't know if it is a word, Mark.
Have I made that up?
Muchly.
I'm really
Isn't he the dog in Wacky Races?
Don't know what that is.
Muttley.
Come on. We appreciate it, Muttley. Oh, God, Joel. Good. If you enjoyed the podcast, you know, the bit with Chris Washington's all right, wasn't it?
That's the best bit.
That's a good bit. That's the main bit. That's why you're tuning in. If you enjoyed it, let us know what you thought. Feedback at Jokes with Mark across all social media. We'd love to hear from you. If you can be bothered and you haven't done already, head over to Apple Podcasts and give us a 5-star review. That really helped the podcast so people know about it and see it and listen to it. And then we can keep going, keep recording these cracking little bits of stuff. Muchly. I think I need to have a nap. I'm tired. I've got a whole lockdown to recover.
Anything more from you, Mark?
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get to the end.
Why?
Because you're just sort of talking about how tired you are.
I am tired, Joel.
Well, go to bed.
I'm sort of in bed now.
You are? I can see you're in bed.
Yeah, no, I've got a show. I've got an online thing to do, a Zoom gig. Back to the Zoom gigs, mate. Back to the Zoom gigs.
Oh, dear, the dark days.
Yeah. Okay, anything more from you, Joel?
Nothing more from me, Mark. Anything more from you, Mark?
Nothing more from me, Joel. Hashtag Ooga, everybody. Enjoy lockdown. See you next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real frank discussions, talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.